at him, shocked.
You can't lie to your family.
Surely you've lied to yours.
No, never. Why would you do something like that? He shrugged.
The same reasons you might lie to anyone. Social nicety, personal convenience, simple necessity.
How had I forgotten Caspian was like this, too? Merciless in ways I could never find appealing. Cold in ways that hurt my heart. Do you lie to me? I heard myself say in a very small voice.
Of course not.
Are you sure it's not just personally convenient to tell me that?
Not at all. It's never convenient to commit to a course of action that is limiting.
I pulled a pouty face. I can't tell whether that's reassuring or not.
The truth is rarely reassuring, which is rather my point.
I didn't have an answer to that. Damn it.
My mother won't be upset,
he went on.
She understands that I have many demands on my time.
Frankly, she sounded terrifying. I mean, all I knew about her was that she organized charity auctions, an act of moral carbon offsetting if there ever was one, and that her children were Caspian and Ellery. Because, you know, I adored both of them, but I'd be kind of worried if I'd raised them. Also, well, it's super nice that Caspian wanted to be with me. I was getting increasingly, not insulted, exactly, but it rankled, somehow, the easy way he was willing to pass me off as work. Not that I actually wanted him to declare me, like he was going through customs either. Ugh! Logic and me, not the bestest of buddies. Okay, I said. But what about the people with cancer or the kids in Africa?
What about them?
Well, this auction is for something, isn't it?
Belrose handles my philanthropic concerns, and I assure you they are substantial.
I drew my feet up and hugged my knees, since it was clearly the only hugging likely to be happening for a while. Very much not the point here.
Then please enlighten me, because I was rather under the impression you wanted to spend time with me.
God, I do! I wailed. I really do! But I feel incredibly weird about being the reason you're not going to do something that would help people who, well, need help. No answer from Caspian. Unless you counted the way his fingers curled tightly against his knee. I felt awful from about six different directions at once. You can see where I'm coming from. Right.
I can.
He reached up and flipped on the intercom.
Change of plan, Lloyd. To the Sheldrake, and quickly, please.
Wait. What was happening? I slithered along the seat as the limo swung around. Was he going to make me sit in the car like a puppy while he went to a society party? I opened my mouth to say, well, I wasn't sure what. But Caspian looked so forbidding that all my words dried up on my tongue. And so we just sat there, in the worst silence. Great. I'd spoiled my own homecoming. But Caspian was kind of being a dick too. Not that mentioning it to him was going to improve the situation. I wish I could turn back time to the holding and the kissing. Except nothing would change. I'd still get squicked out. Because while Caspian wanting to cast the world aside for me had the potential to be incredibly exciting, on this occasion it was simply selfish. And in the ugliest possible way. I didn't want that for him. Or me. Or whatever us we were. A glance out of the window revealed lots of Georgian geometries, pale rectangular buildings, bristling with columns and pediments, which probably meant Mayfair. Ho-hum. The Sheldrake Gallery. Should I have heard of it? I had a feeling the answer was yes, but I didn't dare Google. Was a lanky, white-fronted place, its windows shining brightly and the pavement outside thick with reporters and people in black tie. The limo drew to a halt. Caspian eased past me and stepped elegantly out of the door the moment the chauffeur opened it for him. I sat there like a sad lemon.
Come, Arden.
Normally, I would have been pretty into Caspian commanding me to come. Right now, not so much.
What?
He held out his hand to me. Oh, my God, he'd gone mad.
I can't go in there. I just got off a plane. I look...
Charming. And we won't be staying long.
If you aren't staying long, why do I have to go?
Because I want you to.
Well, there was no way I was going to be able to resist that. I reached out, took his hand, and fell out of the limo. Thankfully, Caspian's body was in the way, so I ended up smooshed against his side, rather than face-planted onto the pavement. The insectoid clicking of shutters filled the air, and I was immediately camera-dazzled. Then someone called my name. I turned instinctively and a flash went off right in my face.
First the sister, now the brother. You do get about, Ardy baby.
I couldn't see anything except snowflakes and afterimages. I had no idea what was happening, but there was something about that voice. Like a crossword clue you were on the brink of solving. I felt I should have recognized it. Then Caspian grabbed my hand and strode off toward the building, dragging me along behind him as you might a recalcitrant child. Which was fair enough, since I didn't want to go to the fancy charity event. Even my lovely coat couldn't hide how rumpled I was, and I felt horribly out of place in that gleaming white gallery, among the beautifully dressed visitors. Someone shoved a guidebook in my direction, but the caterer with the tray of champagne actively turned away. Clearly he didn't want to waste the good stuff on me. A few people greeted Caspian as he cut a swathe through the crowd. He stopped only long enough to acknowledge them before sweeping on, me still bobbing in his wake like a rubber duck after a frigate. A couple of minutes later he was bearing down on one of the gallery assistants. At least, I assumed that was her role here, since she was wearing a classic little black cocktail dress and had the sleek, self-satisfied air of someone who could afford to do a notoriously underpaid job. Something I was sensitive to, because I was probably headed that way myself. Some of her complacency fled at the sight of Caspian.
Can I help you, Mr. Hart?
Yes, Lenora. I'll take it all.
All the... All the pieces?
Everything.
He reached into his inside pocket, produced a business card, and pressed it into her limp hand.
Contact my office. Belrose will handle the details. Oh, and...
A minuscule pause.
Please apologize to my mother. I'm afraid I can't stay.
And then we were off again. Caspian in full stride, and me at full scamper. Back through the gallery and the people in the electric maze of cameras and, finally, into the waiting limo, which immediately pulled away.
What just happened?
I asked, collapsing breathlessly onto the seat. Caspian settled next to me, graceful and composed as ever.
You were concerned that my desire to spend the evening with you would have negative consequences for the hypothetical beneficiaries of the event. I have resolved the situation.
But you ruined the party.
Arden?
He gave me one of his coldest looks.
Most likely there are people present who care more about the party than the charity, but they are beyond my consideration, and should be beyond yours.
I guess. I couldn't figure out what was going on in my feels. I think I was comprehensively overwhelmed. And Caspian seemed so far away. literally and figuratively, that I might as well have been back in Boston. I screwed my courage to wherever it was courage got screwed and clambered awkwardly back into his lap. Caspian drew in a sharp breath, but didn't dump me onto the floor or anything, so I counted it as a win. He tilted his head slightly to meet my gaze.
Does this mean you'll spend the evening with me?
Did you even like the art?
I didn't look at it. I'm sure it's very nice.
Caspian!
What?
You can't do things like this! His lips twitched into the faintest suggestion of a smile.
That is demonstrably untrue.
Gah! You know what I mean. You shouldn't.
Will you?
He said slowly and softly, and full of delicious menace.
Spend this evening with me.
I wriggled happily. You know the answer is yes. But you have to promise me this won't happen again.
Since you won't let me lie to you, I can't make that promise.
I was going to protest again, but he put his fingers gently across my lips.
I would do far more than buy some art for you, my ardent.
But now, I pointed out irrefutably, you own some art.
My mother has an excellent eye. Most likely the pieces will only increase in value. In 10 years or so I can hold another auction.
Tucking my head against his shoulder, I let myself breathe. The sweet, dark scent of Caspian's cologne wrapped itself around me, as familiar as his touch. I still can't believe you did that, I muttered. Just to spend an evening with me.
I'm a very selfish man.
Hey, you've done a really good thing for what someone referred to as hypothetical beneficiaries. I smirked into his jacket. Caspian's fingers moved lightly through my hair, sending shivers all the way down my spine.
Dear me, what pompous friends you have.
I... Eep? I hope he's a bit more than a friend.
I'm sure he's quite taken with you.
Oh, wow. Carve that out of stars and write it across the sky. I sat up again, regarding him gravely. Yes, I truly believe he holds me in moderate esteem. There was a brief pause. Then Caspian put a hand across his face and burst out laughing. And oh God, it was beautiful. That pure, bright sound, rare as an English spring, and the flashes of his mirth-struck mouth, half hidden behind his fingers. It made me want to kiss him, dip my tongue into his laughing.
I'm sorry,
he said after a moment or two, blinking the glitter of moisture from his lashes.
I more than moderately esteem you.
You mean you deeply esteem me?
I more than esteem you to any measure.
Gosh! I clasp my hands to my palpitating breast. Can it be that you... regard me?
Come here, you wretched monkey. I treasure you.
He kissed me. Long and sweet and thorough. And by the time he was done, I was blissfully melted. He nudged his nose against mine.
What do you want to do tonight?
What are the options? It was honestly dizzying. Caspian's time was so insanely valuable, and here he was just pouring it into my lap as if it was as abundant as Inca gold.
Anything you want. Do you have a favourite restaurant in London? Or is there somewhere you want to go? Paris. I understand people find Paris very romantic. I could have the helicopter readied within the hour.
That sounded, well, like something that happened to people who weren't me. And not necessarily in the would-if-only-I-could sense. You know, I said awkwardly, I think I'd rather go home, have a long bath, order pizza, and maybe watch a movie.
Oh, God.
Caspian drew his fingertips down my cheek.
What am I saying? You've barely got back. Of course you need time to rest.
He switched on the intercom, directed the driver to take us to One Hyde Park, and settled me comfortably against his side. Although I was starting to worry he'd missed the point. Missed the point in a significantly major way. With you, I said quickly. I want to do all that stuff with you. He looked genuinely startled.
You'd prefer me to stay?
Hell yes. I'm especially hoping you'll come in the bath with me. He went a little pink at that, but appeared no less confused.
If this is really how you'd like to spend the evening, then certainly.
You ridiculous man. I shoved my hand in his, and he let me, folding his fingers tightly around mine. I can't imagine anything I'd like more. Chapter 20. Getting Caspian in the bath proved weirdly difficult. He didn't exactly refuse, so much as made about a million excuses and then got very busy around the apartment. Which, incidentally, was exactly as I'd left it. Pristine, gleaming, this space preserved in amber by a ruthless designer and a dedicated cleaning team. The bath, though. The bath was fucking amazing. I'd only used the shower before. Partially for convenience, but mainly because the bath was so ludicrously vast I was afraid of feeling lonely in it. Or, you know, drowning. And being found the next morning, all soggy and blue and floating upside down like a baby octopus in a bowl of udon soup, by someone who did not need that in their life. "You're missing all the bubbles!" I called out. Caspian finally appeared in the doorway, and I did my best to look tempting, rather than just, well, wet. It semi-worked because he came over, crouched down, and brushed some foam off my nose. Sigh. Sexy really did run the other way when it saw me coming, didn't it? Or maybe it all naturally flowed toward Caspian, who was looking teeth-achingly hot right then with his jacket off and his shirt clinging to his arms, the tips of his hair already curling in the steam. I peered at him, hopefully. "Are you coming in?"
"I'm perfectly happy to wait. You'll be more comfortable on your own."
"No, I won't. I'm actively less comfortable, in fact, because this bath is way too big for me." Caspian was still, In anyone else, I would have called it dithering. "What's the matter?" I asked. "Don't you want to?"
"It's not that."
He wove his hands together in front of him, a gesture I was beginning to recognize as the trick it was. Stillness imposed on restlessness.
"It's just not something I've done before."
"Not even with Nathaniel? God, don't be smug, Arden."
"And so?" he went on. "I suppose I'm somewhat uncertain."
I offered my most winning smile. "Nothing to it. Close off, hop in. Lesbians do it all the time."
"Lesbians get in the bath with you?"
"No, with each other. On TV, anyway. I don't know what they do in real life. probably fuck? Caspian was looking at me in obvious bewilderment. I guess I had kind of gone astray. You don't have to, I told him quickly, remembering all too vividly the last time I'd pushed him too hard. I really thought he was gonna say no, and I told myself it didn't matter. But then he stood and started taking his clothes off. And holy shit, I was rapt. Obviously, I'd seen him naked and removing garments before, but I'd always been distracted. Or more naked myself. But now I got to sit there among my bubbles and watch. Watch, watch. He made no attempt to be even remotely seductive, except I was seduced regardless. He was just so beautiful, baring his skin for me without ceremony. His watch and cufflinks he left by the sink. His clothes he draped over the closed lid of the toilet. It should have been so banal. But the steam from my bath curled around his hips, licked at his throat, left silver curlicues in his pubic hair. And I felt I was beholding something from a pre-Raphaelite painting, one of the racier ones, Echo peeping at Narcissus as he lingered starkers in some verdant glen. If, that is, Narcissus had been comprehensively fucking unbothered by his own spectacular gorgeousness. And then, Caspian Heart was in the bath with me. Caspian Heart was in the bath with me. Hunched at one end, his arms folded tightly around his knees.
Now what?
We relax, blow bubbles, splash about playfully, wash each other in sexy ways. He stared. How about we start with the relaxing and work up?
What do you propose?
His tone suggested he was expecting a full market analysis and 5 years of projected figures. But I guess he was just unsettled. I slinked toward him through the water, not quite crawling, because then I would probably have gone under, and that would not have been at all attractive. How about you lie back and I go between your legs?
You go where?
I said, spread your legs, Mr. Heart. He made a wary noise, but obliged. The bubbles shifted on the surface of the water, offering me hazy glimpses of his upper thighs and, other exciting regions. I twisted round before he could catch me ogling and carefully reversed my ass into the space he'd made for me. No. Wow. Turned out that was super uncomfortable. I jiggled left and right, then up and down, trying to make it work. Caspian's knees bobbed around like discombobulated sharks.
What's next?
He asked. Can you lean against the side of the bath? Then I can lean against you. We flailed about, but nothing seemed to help. There was always some bit of him or some bit of me getting in the way. Why was it never like this in the movies? I think, I panted, if we could go a little lower. I pushed frustratedly against his leg, at which point my bum lost all purchase on the bottom of the bath, my legs flew over my head, and with a wild squeal I crashed backwards into the water. Well, a bit into the water. A lot into Caspian. Who I'd basically just reverse dive-bombed. Shit, I'd probably drowned him. Belrose was going to kill me. I'd completed an urgent swivel when he surfaced. Spat out a mouthful of bubbles, pushed the sodden hair from his eyes, and opened them slowly.
Why, yes,
he murmured.
This is terribly sexy.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. He was quiet for a long moment, and viper still. And then with great deliberation, he flicked his hand against the water and splashed me. It surprised a giggle out of me. And then, of course, I retaliated. And this went on until Caspian wrapped me in his arms and pulled me against his chest. And somehow that worked. And there we were, warm and entangled, and floating blissfully in the water. I made the happiest of happy noises. Even if I stretched, my toes still couldn't touch the far side of the bath. And I could feel the steady thud of Caspian's heart against my cheek. The strength of him under and around me. And also his cock, which apparently enjoyed me being all slippery when wet. It would have taken a better man than me to resist. I reached into the water and closed my hand round him, dragged my palm tenderly along the length of him, which made him shudder and close his eyes.
Arden, don't.
Grumble, grumble. But I let him go, and he kissed the edge of my brow, his fingers brushing a tingly path along my spine. It drew a dreamy sound out of me, and I relaxed an extra 0.5% I didn't even know was there, completely limp and weightless, draped over Caspian. Obviously, touching him would have been wonderful. But it belatedly occurred to me that if I had jerked him off in the bath, we would probably have wanted to get out quickly, even if, in purely rational terms, the spooge-to-water ratio was very small. Eventually, the bubbles had mostly dissipated and my toes were turning wrinkly. So we de-tubbed and Caspian snuggled me up in one of One Hyde Park's exceptionally fluffy towels. I was having a hard time not staring at him. I mean, even more than usual. Maybe it was my greedy desire for glimpses of damp, slightly disheveled post-bath Caspian. But actually, I craved these moments with him. Moments when he wasn't master of a world I could barely access. Moments when he was just Caspian. A man who laughed rarely, smiled shyly, but let himself be playful with me. A man who was mine. "Do you need to borrow some clothes or something?" I called out as I went in search of a non-embarrassing pair of pajama bottoms. He laughed.
"Thank you, but no. I have lived here on occasions."
I couldn't help wondering which of his houses was home, and if I'd ever get to see it. "Do you have any pizza preferences?" I asked instead.
"None at all."
"Do you even like pizza?"
"Probably."
My rummaging had miraculously failed to turn up some sexy yet sophisticated loungewear, mainly because I didn't have any. "What do you mean, probably?"
"I mean, probably. I haven't had it for a long time."
"You don't have baths. You don't eat pizza." I compromised on my chill-out Olaf the Snowman trousers and my I-don't-care-I'm-a-unicorn t-shirt. Okay, okay, it wasn't a compromise, it was all I had. "What on earth are you doing with your life?"
"Well," Caspian said mildly, "I've been quite busy at work."
Wandering out of the bedroom, I found him already waiting for me. I'd seen casual Caspian before, at Kinloch Bearvie when he'd come to get me back, but it was still slightly intimidating, especially because he looked like an underwear model, in loose-fitting black sweats and a t-shirt that was practically molded to his torso, and I looked like a cartoon character. But I guess this was life with Caspian Hart. And it made sense that things were a little bit awkward, because our relationship was a frankly bonkers combination of distance and intimacy. We'd shared secrets over the telephone. He'd given me an apartment to live in. I'd crawled to him on my hands and knees. And unless you counted dinner with my family, this was the first evening we'd ever spent together in a way that didn't centralize destroying each other or fucking. Not that I minded the fucking. I was a big fan of the fucking. But it was... well, it was nice that this was an option too. I smiled at him, self-conscious suddenly. Any thoughts about movies?
None.
He crossed the floor toward me, silent on bare feet, and gently turned my face up to his for the lightest of kisses.
Am I a terrible disappointment to you?
What? No! How could you be?
Because you're asking me for things I have very little experience in giving.
I gazed up at him. Fuck. Maybe I should have let him take me to Paris. Would you rather fuck me and go? He blinked. Not in a bad way. Just this is probably really boring for you, isn't it?
How could I possibly be bored?
His mouth softened unexpectedly.
You nearly drowned me in the bath.
Yep. Yep, I did do that. I could also get a pizza with the topping you're allergic to, if you like.
I'm not allergic to anything. Though I'm not especially fond of mushrooms.
For some reason, this tiny piece of random knowledge thrilled me. I won't get one with mushrooms. If you're sure.
Yes, I'm quite sure I don't like them.
You know that's not what I meant. I tried to sound stern, but the giggling detracted.
Yes, I'm sure I like this. And I'm sure I like you. Now.
He turned me round and tapped me, rather wickedly on the arse.
Go and order a pizza and then pick a film.
I gave him a fluttery glance over my shoulder. Yes, Mr. Hart. A few minutes later, pizza was on its way and I was wrestling my bedding onto the sofa. Caspian looked mildly confused again, but didn't otherwise comment. He might have been a super-powerful billionaire, but there was at least one universal truth I knew and he didn't. Everything was better under a duvet. So, I was thinking, I said as I snuggled myself up, we could maybe watch the new Star Wars? Honestly, I was more than a little bit nerve-wracked. Choosing a movie was a serious responsibility. It not only said things about you, it said things about the way you saw someone else. Two rich veins of potential humiliation. And Caspian was extra difficult because there were graven angels more into pop culture than he was. But I thought Star Wars might work, given his fondness for sci-fi. And, you know, the fact it was awesome.
As it happens, I've seen it.
He pulled the other end of the duvet over his knees, and let me tell you, his duvet technique was majorly lacking. No curling, no tucking, absolutely no nestling. You have. The possibility hadn't even occurred to me. But he did travel a lot. Maybe he'd caught it on the plane.
Yes, I watched it with my father when it first came out. He was quite fanatical about the series.
I loved it when Caspian spoke about his father, trusting me with the fragile origami of his memories. But at the same time, I didn't want to appear morbidly eager for dead parent-related entertainment. So I went with a casually encouraging, yeah? Caspian smiled, one of his sweetest, rarest smiles.
The original film came out when he was about 16. He called it his first love.
I guess it's pretty cool. I mean, for a movie from the 70s.
He always said that, like Bertrand Russell, three great passions ruled his life. Us, Eleanor and I, our mother, And Star Wars.
I suddenly remembered the dedication I'd seen in one of Caspian's books, and felt a bit sorry for All My Love, L, since they apparently ranked below George Lucas in Arthur Hart's affections. Which was when another important thought occurred to me. So, how did he find the Phantom Menace, then?
Well, he did not quite burn George Lucas in effigy, but from that day forth his life was ruled by two great passions.
I laughed, then winced, then remembered why I'd suggested Star Wars in the first place. Caspian, you do know there's, like, a new Star Wars, right? And it doesn't suck.
Really?
Yep. Nobody says anything about midichlorians, and no trade routes are even remotely in dispute.
That does sound rather more like the Star Wars my father enjoyed.
Did you enjoy it? He gave a slightly self-conscious shrug.
His enthusiasm was always infectious. Much like yours, Arden.
If you'd asked me, as a general principle, how I felt about being compared to deceased parents, the answer would have probably been not so great, actually. But in this case, I was oddly touched. Showing Caspian how to enjoy things was a good trait to share with someone he loved. On the other hand, maybe Star Wars wasn't the best choice in this particular context. Would you rather watch something else? Because I'm always up for Disney.
No. Star Wars is fine.
Fine. The answer dreams were made of. But it turned out to be a lie anyway, because Caspian clearly was not fine about Star Wars. He was enthralled. He tried to hide it, but he literally gasped when the music kicked in. It was beyond adorable. It belatedly occurred to me that I should have warned him I'm a terrible person to watch movies with. I kind of, somehow, can't stop talking through them. Which is not... Well, it's not ideal, is it? But actually, while there were lots of things I could have said, I didn't, in the end, say any of them. Because I didn't want to spoil anything for Caspian. And for me, watching him was better than watching the movie. It wasn't what I would have pictured at all. But then, doing something like this with Caspian had always been a daydream I'd never really believed would happen. So my imagination had been hazy on the details. I guess I'd been expecting his usual careful detachment. An elegant man bathed in the silver light of a screen. What I got was a boy's wide-eyed wonder. A delight in TIE fighters, Wookiees and lightsabers. That might have started as an affection for his father, but was now entirely his own. And he was sharing it with me. The pizza came and went, and he barely noticed. And once I got rid of the box, he let me rearrange the duvet over us both, for maximum coz, and squeeze right up against him. I even got to wriggle my hand into his. I didn't think I'd ever liked Star Wars quite as much as I did right then. I felt half drunk on his pleasure. My heart huge and soft and raw and wobbly. Oh, God. Was I in love? This vast feeling soaring and wheeling inside me. Surely it was love. When the credits rolled, Caspian turned to me. His eyes oddly shining in the flicking light, and murmured,
"I wish my father could have seen that. But I'm so glad I got to watch it with you."
And now my heart was mush. Just red mush spilling everywhere. Caspian! Overcome with happiness and two big emotions, I flung my arms around him and covered him with hysterical kisses. He seemed a bit surprised, but only reined me in a little bit. I paused briefly in my frenzy. Thank you for tonight. I loved watching Star Wars with you. And in case I was overdoing it and getting scary, I added, You big nerd.
How dare you?
He subjected me to his most billionary look, only for it to be undermined by the light in his eyes and the laughter lurking at the edges of his lips.
I simply commit fully to my every undertaking.
Including Star Wars. His smile got the better of him.
Especially Star Wars.
Help! I was going to explode of everything. How did people cope? Did they go about their daily lives with love inside them like a sky full of rioting party balloons? And suddenly I was terrified. Because what if I told him? Because what if I was wrong? Because what if? I probably would have had a panic attack on the sofa, but then my dick swept in out of nowhere and rescued me by getting incredibly hard. Arousal thundered through me with the sort of conviction that hurled lions off cliffs and left their sons guilt-stricken for half a movie. Slightly shocked at the intensity of my own desire, I twined my arms around Caspian's neck. Take me to bed, I said. My voice was so shaky I couldn't tell if I was asking, demanding, or pleading. But it didn't matter anyway, because Caspian picked me up and carried me off. Chapter 21 It wasn't the first time he'd done that, but his strength always took me a little bit by surprise. I think because, along with so many other things, passion and joy and laughter, he kept it locked away behind his well-cut suit and his cold eyes. And there was nothing quite like being carted around by someone else to make you feel excitingly overpowered. I clung to his shoulders, my stomach doing roller coaster swoops, even though I knew he wouldn't drop me. He tossed me onto my duvetless bed like I was a medieval princess and he was the Dark Knight come to claim my maidenhead. And then he came down on top of me, kissing me hard, his tongue plunging between my lips in happy anticipation of other acts of plunging he might be likely to perform. I sank into sex, into that warm, thudding place of heart to heart and mouth to mouth. But, of course, the moment I got my hands under his top and against his skin, he had me by the wrists and was pulling my arms over my head. He gazed down at me, all predator sharp and sexy hungry.
I should get my tie.
I flip-flopped between thrilled and frustrated. Because, yes, part of me would have loved it. The part in question being my dick, which had got even harder at the prospect of me being trussed and helpless at the mercy of Caspian Hart. But my more complicated bits had more complicated reactions. Let me touch you. I absolutely did not whine.
Arden?
I know. I pushed against his hands. I can't help it. I just want to give you pleasure sometimes.
You do give me pleasure. You give me so much pleasure.
Did you hate it? In Kinloch Bervie?
No, but...
Please! The word burst out of me, raw with longing. I beg you, Caspian! He looked startled, and I couldn't entirely blame him. I couldn't remember ever begging that hard for anything in my life. Including my own orgasms. Although, slightly to my own horror, it turned out I wasn't done. You can still be in control. I'll worship you. I'll serve you. My hands will be your slaves. Endless silence. I could tell my eyes had gone huge and needy. And while I knew I gave good please face, for once I wasn't trying to be cute.
It really means this much to you?
He asked. Yes! God, yes!
What?
He faltered, then recovered.
Do you want to do?
Anything.
That's not very specific.
He was right, but now he'd put me on the spot. And having already made a massive fuss, I felt duty-bound to be reasonable. There was, after all, no point in asking for the moon when the stars were plenty shiny. Can I give you a hand job?
Just a hand job.
Wow. Way to sound insultingly relieved, Caspian. I pouted. Hey, now! There's nothing just about a hand job when it's from me.
It's really what you want.
Well, no. It was a sneaky piece of icing from the spectacular multi-tiered cake of my wanting. But damn it, I would take it. Yes. He let me go and rolled onto his back.
As long as you don't...
Put my weight on you. And I'll stop straight away if you tell me.
All right.
He sounded perfectly calm. Even bored. But his eyes, which held mine like a drowning man might clutch me, told a different story. I promise, I whispered. And thank you. He gave a shaky laugh.
I'm not sure I've done anything to merit gratitude.
Oh, my God! I turned and ran palm down the frankly ridiculous contours of his abdomen. You're trusting me. And you're giving me... you. That's the most incredible gift.
I very much doubt it.
Don't say that stuff. You'll make me cross with you. My caress became a well-deserved poke, which made him... I don't quite know. From anyone else, it would have been a yelp. From Caspian, it was probably a much more dignified sound.
I'm very sorry.
I'll forgive you. Can I take your clothes off?
I presume you're intending to follow suit.
He'd had me naked and in compromising positions pretty much constantly. But nothing, not even the threat of torture. Well, okay, the threat of torture, let's keep a sense of perspective here, would have made me point it out to him. Course. I whipped my top over my head and wriggled out of my PJ bottoms. And, yup, there I was again. Slightly cold and extremely undressed in front of the most gorgeous man I'd ever met. But, God, it was nothing. Barely a fraction of what I would have done to please him. To make him feel safe. Sure of his power and my so willing supplication. He sat up and I caught the hem of his T-shirt, drawing it up and off. A ribbon of heat spiraled down my spine toward my increasingly perky cock. He'd never let me do anything like this before. With other people, I dragged them out of their clothes and hardly given a second's thought. With Caspian, it was intimacy beyond anything I dreamed of. No longer just a recipient of his desires. I was part of them. And there was no way I was goofing this up. No catching his ear or messing his hair or getting his arm stuck. Oh, no. I divested him of his T-shirt like it was fucking cloth of gold. He emerged, blinking, his freshly bared chest heaving with his quickened breath. See? I leaned in and brushed my mouth over the stark crests of his collarbones, remembering the way he'd responded in Kinloch Bervy. He trembled now, my gorgeous man, felled by the gentlest of touches. You can imagine you're Alexander and I'm Bagoas, and I'm disrobing you after some great battle. He cupped a hand beneath my jaw and drew me up for a brief kiss.
I think I'd rather you were Arden.
I can definitely live with that. I'm still yours, though.
Is that so? How's your dancing?
I've got some moves. How's your global conquest?
Largely financial.
He was stalling. It was cute stalling, but stalling nevertheless. Shuffling lower on the bed, I slipped my fingers gently under the waist of his lounge trousers and slid them all the way down. Swear to God, if I'd attempted a sexy move like that on myself, I'd have gotten them tangled in my knob or around my knees. But for Caspian, I found grace. And there he was, my own private centerfold. I actually groaned at the sight of him. Like when you're super hungry and somebody makes you bacon for breakfast. That kind of groan. You are so ridiculously hot, I told him. And, of course, he blushed. A pinkish tinge spreading across his cheekbones and down his chest. Which made him look, if possible, even better. It gave life to that perfect physique of his. A whisper of the imperfect to make him real and touchable. And mine. He was only half hard. Not exactly a ringing endorsement of what was happening so far, but I wasn't going to take it personally. Clearly he felt exposed, and not everyone got off on that the way I did. Though I was hoping I could show him he didn't have to be vulnerable. That control and distance weren't always the same thing. And even if he was uncertain of himself, he never had to be of me. I would yield whenever he needed it. I got settled by his side. Since I intended to be a while, it made sense to get comfy. Can you grab some lube from the drawer?
Is that necessary?
Sheesh, you'd have thought I was pulling his teeth, not his dick. No, but it's nicer. His knees shifted, very slightly. I'm not going to cross the neutral zone, Caspian. That's how you start a war with the Romulans. At last, a faint smile. I grinned back at him. Get me the damn lube, will you? He turned onto his side, pulled open the bedside drawer, and froze.
Good God! What's all this?
Just your standard, everyday, perfectly average collection of sex toys.
I wouldn't call this average, Arden. I would call it expansive. I mean...
I glanced at what he was brandishing, and shrugged. Everyone needs a fleshlight.
And a vibrating cock ring.
Hell yes.
What about... Actually, I have no idea what this is.
It's a guybrator. And that's a prostate massager. And that's a subtly but significantly different prostate massager. That one's a very basic dildo.
And this?
A dildo in the shape of a tentacle. Obviously. He covered his eyes with his hand.
I don't know what to say.
How about I respect your commitment to self-pleasure?
This is quite the commitment.
Oh, bless. He'd gone all pink again. So adorable. Well, like the lady says... If you don't love yourself, how in the hell are you gonna love somebody else? Except now he had his I have no idea what you're talking about look. I held out my hand and wiggled my fingers impatiently. Lube, please.
Which lube? You own a lot.
I considered the matter. The boy butter.
Boy butter. Really?
It's lovely. I promise. Can you? A sigh I couldn't quite stifle. Trust me. A little bit. please. He passed me the tub without further comment. I flipped off the lid, gathered up a generous dollop of soft creamy goodness on my finger, and set about getting my hands and his cock all warm and slick. Then I noticed Caspian was frowning.
What's wrong? Nothing. Just, do you, we, am I not satisfying you?
Where did that come from? I love sexy times with you.
Well, his frown intensified. I can't help notice you have gathered masturbatory aids with the determination of a squirrel preparing for a long winter.
I couldn't help giggling at the image. Arden St. Ives, wank squirrel. I like getting myself off. I mean, not more than I like someone else doing it. I'm into both, is what I'm saying. This was not an ideal time for there to be silence. I knew because silence happened. And kept happening. I shifted uncomfortably. I'm feeling slightly slut-shamed here, for your information.
That was not my intention. I'm simply somewhat startled.
I don't see why. Everyone masturbates.
Yes, but I've always treated it as little more than a necessity.
His gaze skittered away from mine. Great. Now I'd made him uncomfortable. Turns out talking about wanking was a hot potato of social awkwardness. Who'd have thought it? I'm pretty sure that's the general cultural perception, I said. But I guess I don't really see masturbation as a lesser form of sex. Just a different one. Also, you've made me say masturbation about 87 times, which is embarrassing, so you owe me an apology. He ducked his head to hide what was blatantly a smile.
I'm sorry.
I suppose I'll forgive you. He was quiet again. And then, very softly,
I love the glimpses of the world I see through your eyes.
Wow. This was like that scene in that movie where the guy is super moved by the beauty of a plastic bag blowing in the wind. Except it was my penis. I wasn't entirely sure how to respond. Apart from, you know, graciously because he'd given me a compliment. Thank you. Caspian gave me a tense little smile. And I was still sitting there, with his dick in my hand. So far, Operation Handjob wasn't anything close to the gently erotic experience I'd had in mind. In fact, it was hard to imagine how it could have gone worse without one of us sustaining actual physical injury. Or my mum and his mum walking in on us simultaneously. Probably the sensible thing to do was give up. But fuck sensible. And fuck giving up. I damn near demanded Caspian's trust. And so far all I'd done with it was intimidate him with my array of personal lubricants and get defensive about my masturbatory habits. I had to fix this. Obviously I needed to say something reassuring. Although the only things I could think of, just relax, it's going to be okay, made it sound like I was about to laser off a Veruca or give him a colonic irrigation. Okay, I announced. Handjob time. Caspian gave a splutter of amusement, which, you know, was better than nothing. I'd lost ground in erection terms, but I wasn't too concerned. If anything, it was part of the experience, coaxing him languorously to arousal between my palms. As far as I could tell, most people jerked off as if they were late for an orgasm appointment. Me, I took the scenic route. And soon enough, Caspian was with me for the journey, his cock hot and hard, silky with lube and shudderingly responsive to my caresses. I didn't actually have any magic wanking techniques, and who had time for all that make an O with your thumb and index finger Cosmo nonsense? It was about paying attention, taking your time, enjoying what you were doing. And, God, I was enjoying myself. There was an intimacy to this that I absolutely loved. I mean, of course there were a bunch of ways to